Start recording.
Yeah, Mataji started.
Welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Lila Purushottam Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 25th chapter, 55th verse. I'll hand over the call.
But I will speak like directly.
Prabhuji, to give brief introduction of Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, can you hand out the call, Prabhuji? Take out the call, Guru Gauranga Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, yeah, we can hear you.
Are you able to hear me properly?
Yes, we can hear you, sir, Prabhuji.
So, should we start now?
Yes, Prabhuji, maybe just 1 minute, we'll just give the introduction, quick introduction.
Okay. I'm very sorry that I'm delayed today. Very, very sorry. I beg apology sincerely. So, let us start with introduction.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam to all the devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. There is a quick introduction of His Grace Lila Purushottam Prabhu. Prabhuji is Diksha disciple of His Holiness Rumapad Swami Maharaj. He is originally from Odisha and is a natural devotee of Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since his early age. It is more than 30 years that Prabhuji is preaching Srila Prabhupada's teaching and practicing and preaching everywhere vigorously. Currently working as a senior professor at IIT Kanpur, he sets an example of perfect Grihastha. Since the last 20 years, his house at IIT Kanpur hosts many every single day complete morning and evening programs, and many IIT graduates participate in it. Also, IIT Patna, IIM Indore and Dehradun city are his places of preaching. He delivered many lectures on the science of Bhagavad Gita in many prominent institutes worldwide, including MIT. His tireless preaching effort has brought many young IIT graduates into Krishna consciousness. Currently, he is serving as the director of ISKCON Gurukul Vrindavan and the director of Bhagavad Gita Pathshala Dehradun. He was also the former president of ISKCON Kanpur. So without further delay, so on behalf of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group, we would like to thank Prabhuji for your valuable time and association. Also sincere thanks to all the participants. So Prabhuji, now you can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, all the devotees. I offer my humble obeisances, vancha kalpataru vesha krupa sindhu vaivacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we will do a short kirtan and then we will read the verse. So
jayo radha madhava kunja bihari. Jana Ballabha Grivara Dhari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha
Grivara Dhari. Sadanandana Pradudana Randana.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotrasta Sri Srimad Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
ISKCON Founder Acharya DBT Founder Acharya Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrunda Ki Sri Sri Lakshmi Narsingadev Bhagavan Ki Giriraj Krishna Ki Sri Sri Radha Ramanju Ki Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Sri Radha Sam Sundar Sri Sri Gaunatai Ki Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Go Granthras Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Pitroho Nrupa Puriya Dwar This is Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 25 Text 50 Pitroho Nrupa Puriya Dwar Dakhinena Puranjanaha Dakhinena Puranjanaha Rastram Dakhina Panchalam
Yati Sruta Dharanita
Pitruhu
Of the name Pitruhu
Rupa
O King
Puriyaha
Of the city
Dwaha
Gate
Dakhinena
On the southern side
Puranjana
King Puranjana
Rastram
Country
Dakshina
Southern
Panchalam
Of the name Panchala
Yati used to go
Srutadhara Anyata
Along with his friend Srutadhara Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Yes.
See, the southern gate of the city was known as Pitruhu and through that gate King Puranjana used to visit the city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Srutadhara. The right ear is used for karma khandiya or fruitive activities. As long as one is attached to enjoyment of material resources, he hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary system like Pitruloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as Pitruhu gate. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaur Bani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So dear devotees, thank you again for engaging me in speaking on Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to us
the full glory of Bhagavatam. Because Veda is vast. Veda, you know, normally consists of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Kanda means section. Like now we are reading in Valmiki Ramayana. So we first read Bala Kanda, and then we completed Ayodhya Kanda, and then it goes on. Kanda means section. So Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda. And Karma Kanda is bigger. Karma Kanda is very big. And Jnana Kanda is very small. And people normally please stop it. So please, people in other yugas, in the Vedas, they focused on Karma Kanda mostly, and very few on Jnana Kanda. Why? Because you see, by nature's law, everything is happening, right? There is rain during the rainy season. There is, hot sun like nowadays in summer season. This is by nature's law. By nature's law, there is vegetation. Water is coming or is coming to us or is provided to us by nature's arrangement. But suppose there is famine or there is no rain. So then Veda says, you do this. This is called Karma Kanda. Somebody is not getting a child. They are married, newly married, or they are married for a long time. They are not blessed with a child. So normally when you marry, you are in a natural process, you should get a son, a child. But you don't get it. So like, Dasaratha, King Dasaratha. So he did Putreshti Yajna. So this is belonging to Karma Kanda section of Veda. For example, a child is born. Okay, if child is born, then we call out proper Brahmana, proper astrologer, and based on that a name is given. This name is not something arbitrary, like nowadays people are giving. Because name that is like Ravana. His name somebody didn't give because Ravana is Ravana, right? He's really Ravana, the furious one or something like that. So that's what that's he is. So normally the name, in Vedic rituals, so no arbitrary name can be given, no. So name is given. So this is Karma Kanda section. So you go to a Brahmana, you call an astrologer, and they sit together, and then they decide this is the right name for this person. So this is called Karma Kanda section. And there are so many, varieties of people of varieties of nature. And suppose you are not becoming successful in business, So you want some kind of remedy. Like, earlier time, this is a case within 500 years. So there is a raga, Megha Malhara raga. So if somebody can sing Megha Malhara, then the cloud would come in the sky. How is it possible? So this is why people, became part of Vedic culture, because Vedas provided everything that people could not get otherwise. Right? So this is called Vedic Karma Kanda. Similarly, Jnana Kanda. So after some time, even if you get everything, you realize the futility of everything. So now you ask question, what is truth? But you take the help of reasoning. That is there in Upanishads.
through reasoning, you try to find out who is the absolute truth. That's why it is there. Panthastu koti satavasara sampragamyo vayu rathapi manaso manipungavana. Sopi asti yatprapada simni avichintya tatve govindam adipurusam tamaha. So in the reasoning process, you know, the cause and effect analysis, right? So when you do that reasoning process, what happens is that, you know, you can be sidetracked in so many directions. So for crores, sata koti vassara, crores of years when you do this process, then you may end up seeing the effulgent rays that radiates from tip of the toenail of Mahavishnu. That's all. This is called reasoning process. You know, normally, this is, you know, many times I say this, that when we present Krishna consciousness, we present Krishna as the absolute truth, right? And when we present Krishna as the absolute truth, then we try to give some kind of reasoning. We very systematic way, we talk about, you know, we don't present Krishna as the absolute truth in a fanatical way. We give reasoning. But by reasoning, you cannot reach Krishna. Because Krishna is revealed sound. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasada Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. So no one doesn't reach Krishna by reasoning process. One is delivered Krishna, and who delivers? Sri Guru and Gauranga. They deliver. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivers Krishna. He says, you chant his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please chant. So, when we present Krishna, and then we establish the nature of the absolute truth, we certainly give the analysis by reasoning. But same reasoning cannot be used to know Krishna. And, you know, I don't know whether in this Sangha or where did I tell? I don't know whether I was, you know, even if I'm repeating, so please forgive me. So this is a Prabhupada Lila. Prabhupada Lila is that Prabhupada is in Mumbai, and Brahmananda Swami, who is taking care of Nairobi temple in Kenya, he sent a telegram to Prabhupada that all arrangement has been made for his preaching program in Nairobi. So Prabhupada decided, okay, let me go. And they have to, actually Prabhupada has already gone there. Now this trip is meant to install Radha Krishna deity. But unfortunately the deity that was shipped to Nairobi, there was a crack because of the bad handling of the luggage. So now they have to carry a new Radha Krishna deity. And Madhudisha Swami, Prabhupada's disciple, he arranged, a nice set of deities from Jaipur. or somewhere in Rajasthan. And deities are very heavy. So anyway, I don't want to tell the detail because then I'll be sidetracked. There are so many things to be told because this particular verse is referring to sound. And I will tell you about the sound shortly, but let me complete this story. This is where Mother Disha finally, you know, carried these two deities one by one from the checking counter to the checkout launch, right? Where you have to cover the security. Anyway, so he brought these two heavy deities, and obviously he's very tired, and he kept in front of Prabhupada two deities, nicely packed, and then he set near Prabhupada. So then, and he's so tired, he's breathing heavily and so much, and Prabhupada started saying, Mother Disha, let's have a fight. And he was really shocked. What is this fight? I'm already tired, and what fight I and what my spiritual master wants me by engaging me in fight. And Prabhupada said, no, we will have a fight. That you become a Mayavadi, I'll become a devotee. Okay? And let's have a debate. And debate started, and Mother Disha Swami was immediately, within no time he was defeated. Then Prabhupada said, okay, now you take the position of a devotee, I'll become a Mayavadi, and let's see who is going to win. And Mother Disha Swami said, this is so nice, now I can at least compete. And he was very happy. But Prabhupada defeated him, squarely, no time. So this is the limitation of any reasoning process. The reasoning process will never give us the absolute truth. Like, once you know Krishna, you know everything. Doesn't mean if you know everything, you know Krishna. No. Reverse is not true. If you know Krishna, tat vijnanartham anana. So once you know him, you know everything. I'm forgetting this word.
Tat vijnanartham
sagurum. No, sagurum avigachat. No. By knowing that, you know everything. So I'm forgetting the Sanskrit verse. My memory has become very short. So this is Jnanakanda. And beyond Jnanakanda and Karmakanda. So Veda means mostly these two, Jnanakanda and Karmakanda. So beyond these two is Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what is revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dharmaha prajjita kaitavatra paramo nirma saranam satam. So this is the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vyasadeva is saying, dharmaha prajjita kaitavatra. Hereby all cheating things are rejected. That means jnanakanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, visera bhanda. So it's nothing. It is there in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, in the second verse. Vedyam vastama matra vastu. Dharmaha pojjita kaita vatra parama nirmasaram satam. Vedyam vastama matra vastu. Sivadam tapatrayan mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate mahamani krute. Himba parereswari. Krutavi susru subhi. Krutavi tatkhanat. Krutavi susrasivis tatkhanat. Come on, I'm making mistake. So this verse is saying that once one has attained a non-envious status, non-envy for Krishna, non-envy for the Absolute Truth, because once I become non-envious of Absolute Truth, then I am envious of none. If I am envious even an ant, then I am envious of Krishna. So, paramo nirmasranam sadam. Paramo nirmasranam. Those who are absolutely nirmatsara, without envy, for them, Vyasadeva compiled this Amala Purana, Srimad Bhagavata. Nigama kalpatarur galitam phalam. Next verse. Sukha mukhad amruta drava samyutam. So nigama means Veda, kalpataru means desire tree. Galitam phalam, ripened fruit. So this Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of Veda. Veda is compared with a kalpataru, wish fulfilling tree. Galitam phalam. And this has been revealed by Sukadeva Goswami. Sukamukhad amruta dravasayutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhav. Those who are at the highest platform, they only can relish Srimad Bhagavatam, not everybody. And we are very fortunate to receive this Bhagavatam from a Paramahamsa Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. So now let us, because the Karma Kanda was there, the right ear is used for Karma Kanda. So that's why I gave you an idea of Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishara Bhanda. Bhanda means a pot, Visa means poison. So that means Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda. So beautiful, right? If you are not born in a Vedic culture, that means you are an animal. Normally, this is said, right? Bharata Bhumita Janama Jaro. Janma Sarthaka Kari Karo Puro. This is, so Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, this is Veda. But this has to be transcended further. And when we transcend further, what we get is Srimad Bhagavatam. And we get this Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this literature to his disciples 500 years ago. And since then, for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a transcendental necklace. They continuously wear it and read it, hear it, churn it, digest it, dream of it. This is Bhagavad. So let us go to, this is a very small purport, but you see that there is very important. He hears from the right ear. Recently we did Nama Yajna from the previous Ekadasi to Nirjala Ekadasi. So almost 16 days we did Nama Yajna while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sikhyastakam, Harinam Chintamani, likes. And and there we learned, you know, during this. During this Namayagya, we learned many things, but in this context we realized that chanting is a spiritual process. It is not a mechanical process. And here it says that he hears from right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary system. So there are four kinds of sound. Srimad Bhagavatam is called Sabda Brahma. Sabda Brahma. So also Vedic literature. This sound is so important. Suppose you are sleeping, somebody has to knock at the door, then you get up. Or alarm bell has to ring, you get up. Sound is essence for the existence or of this existence. Without sound, it is because of sound Brahma started performing severe tapa. And again through transcendental sound, Brahma was impregnated to the knowledge how to create. Impregnated with the knowledge how to create. You know, when we started growing up, you know, I was studying in the southern Odisha, which is mostly a tribal area, because my father was posted there. And it is a sound that told me that I should aim for engineering. So that the career that I selected, that I should become an engineer, because everybody around me told me engineering has a good prospect. Sound. Based on this sound, somebody becomes a very good, successful businessman. Somebody becomes a prime minister. The sound is so important. But all the sound that we work around is actually Vaikari sound. Sound that manifests in my throat. And this is related only, they pertain to this world only, this sound. It has no meaning. It is actually, once you become a devotee, you see this sound not very useful. You know, when I studied Ravensa College in my intermediate science, that time, you know, while people will go and watch Amitabh Bachchan's movie, I would go very, art movie. You know, like, I saw one movie that probably none of you might have heard. Three times I saw that movie called Across. The actor was Nasiruddin Shah, hero. And there is also Om Puri. So, in this movie, Nasiruddin Shah plays a role of a lawyer. And he has to save a victim, a tribal, who has been accused of being committing rape and murder of his own wife. Although his wife has been raped and murdered by some politicians, some big people. And when I watched this movie, what I liked, because this lawyer, he is a young lawyer, and he has to fight against a big, you know, ghetto, a big network. And he used to play all the time the classical music. He will play, he will come from the court, and after getting relaxed, he will play the classical music. And then I started becoming a fan of classical music. I'll only play the classical music. Probably that many would not make any sense, classical music. That means you need to be more elevated even to appreciate a classical music, which is also a vaikari sound, sound of this material world. And for a long time, I used to hear this classical music until I got degraded in my Bachelor of Engineering degree by mixing with so many other friends. The point here, what I'm trying to say, that what is the sound? You know, sound brings certain information to me. Whatever I have in the form of experience, in the form of knowledge, this is all coming from sound. That is why sound is the basis of creation. But what is the nature of this sound? Like, for example, my name is Lila Purushottam, but if you call me Lila Purushottam, I'll not be there. But when Draupadi calls Krishna, Krishna is there. Whether it is Kuru assembly or in the jungle, where they have to face the wrath of Durvasa and his 60,000 disciples, Krishna is there because he was called and is there. So sound, and that, like Lila Purushottam, this sound, and the person I, these are two different things. Whereas Krishna, the sound, and Krishna, the substance, they are non-different. And that is how the sound is categorized. Vaikari, Madhyama, Pashyanti, Para. In Para, the sound and the object, non-different. Like, suppose I say water, somebody would say pani, somebody would say jal. It's all different thing, but they point to the same. So when this gap is reduced, then sound category gets improved, right? For example, you know, we were told when I was taking interest in classical music that, you know, you put certain raga, and raga has certain meaning. Certain raga for morning, certain raga for evening, certain raga for daytime. So there, these ragas, anybody can get familiarized with, or one can feel oneness with this raga, because this raga is independent of language. Suppose you are an English-speaking person, if I speak in Odia, the same thing that you understand very well in English, in Odia it will be noise. So sound, perception of that sound requires a language. When you transcend that language barrier,
just to give you an example of what is meaning of language barrier. Like, for example, you know, I'm feeling hungry and I open my mouth and I tell you. So you understand that I'm hungry. I don't have to use a language for that. So this is meaning of when you, a sound is expressed, not in language. All our sound is expressed in form of language. And hence they are limited, very limited. When we take the sound beyond language, so we go through Madhyama, we go to, I don't want to speak on this, because I want to speak on the Para sound. And Bhagavatam is Para sound. What is Para sound? In Para sound, sound and the source of that sound are non-different. Are non-different. So when I say Krishna, and the source Krishna, non-different. So somebody who is able to remain in a space of sound that is para, that is transcendental, that is sabda brahma, so that person is a pure devotee. So these are all Pramanika Acharya. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Balladeva Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a line of acharyas who resided in Para sound. You know, every time I read Prabhupada purports, Srila Prabhupada purports, I always get mesmerized how Prabhupada used or transcend, Krishna is the English language. You know, please don't take offense. You know, English language is a language of, you know, from a Vedic perspective, this is a language of mlechas. But this has been converted into transcendental language by Srila Prabhupada. So this para sound, where you don't require a language to converse. Language is there. But this is beyond language. It doesn't mean that in a, you know, in the transcendental realm there is no language. No. But the sound is independent of language. So this para sound that we talked about, this is our goal. How do we enter? Like, for example, here it says that in this material world, normally in Vedic culture, because I'm 100% sure this conversation between Narada and Prachina Parishad happened most likely in Satya Yuga. I'm not sure, I'm just guessing. Right. So obviously, during those days, people did everything according to Veda, but they followed the Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, because anything they wanted, they got it through Vedic process. So people, when they desire anything, you know, once you are born as a human being, in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur says,
the basic motivation for any action by a jiva is to seek pleasure. Seek pleasure. So when it is an internal potency of Krishna, that nature of that pleasure is different. It wants to enjoy as the servant of Krishna. And whereas when it is under the influence of Mahamaya, that pleasure becomes perverted. And that takes the shape of exploitation. Whereas there, it takes the shape of pure love. But the basic motivation is to seek pleasure. So once a human is born here, then the only information he gets through this sound, Vedic literature. And Vedic literature says, if you do this, you'll go to Pitru Loka. If you go, you do this, you go to Swarga Loka, right? Somebody has to perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajna to become Indra. So it's not easy. You know, nobody can perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajna in one life. So you have to take many, many births, and when you perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, then your name will be there in the queue, that you are a possible candidate to become an Indra. So this is the Vedic way of life. And this Puranjana is really, I mean, we have done this actually. We have performed Ashwamedha Yajna. We have performed everything that is possible. We have gone to Swarga Loka. We have resided in Indra's planet. We have visited Alkapuri. We have visited Amravati. We have lived everywhere you can possibly conceive. But this is only to karma kanda, jnana kanda. So this sound that we are talking about, this sound, only these three categories of sound, Vaikari, Madhyama, and Pashyanti. These three. But very few, they become very fortunate to come in contact with para sound. In the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what para sound does? The first feature of para sound is, in this age of Kali, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, this Mahamantra, is it a sound we are producing through our throat? Vaikari sound? No. In Harinam Chintamani, in Saranagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that when we are blessed with the grace of Guru and Krishna and we start hearing, because we have to nourish ourselves with Sravana and Kirtana, right? The seed of bhakti is given to us by Guru and Krishna. So when it is given that seed has to be nurtured by Sravana and Kirtana. Then it becomes a kripa. And because this kripa is a transcendental kripa, it grows and grows and it looks for the shelter. And it cannot get shelter anywhere because this is a realm of the world where only these three categories of sounds are there. not Parasa. And then it crosses even these spiritual planets. It doesn't take shelter because this is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is not Om Namo Narayanaya. Because in Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what is embedded is pure love for Krishna. And pure love for Krishna gets a shape in the form of rasa. And rasa is exchanged through transcendental arts. And this is only available at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this creeper grows and grows until it reaches Goloka and, you know, circumambulates the lotus feet of Krishna. Because this lotus feet of Krishna is not ordinary. Because Krishna's every limb is complete. So Krishna's leg can see, Krishna's leg can sustain, maintain, pashyanti, panti, kalayanti. It can manifest, it can create. So this creeper takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and then we establish through Hare Krishna Mahamantra direct connection between us and Krishna's lotus feet. So when we hear this transcendental message and we hear the glories of holy name and we very sincerely accept this and make them, protect them, carefully protect them within our heart, then the holy name starts speaking. And when holy name speaks, that automatically makes my tongue to vibrate. And when that holy name manifests in the form of a sound, and that sound enters my ear hole, then my persona becomes purified. And in Harinam Chintamani, it is said that the anarthas, the inertia, the distractions, the misunderstanding in the form of ignorance. Misunderstanding means philosophical misunderstanding. So these are called fog and cloud. So sun is there in the sky and fog and cloud can cover the sun. Not the sun, our vision. Similarly, holy name is always pure and it has full effect. However, the fog and cloud within me doesn't allow the holy name to manifest completely within my person. So that is how I'm not able to chant purely. This is called Namabhasa. And this Namabhasa has to be converted in pure name. And then we get transported from Vaikari sound, from Madhyama sound, from Pashyanti sound, Parasa. That is why we don't have to contemplate anything when we chant. We have to hear this Parasa sound in the form of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We just have to focus on that. We read in the, so what is the first part I said, you know, how do you enter into Parasam? That means we get the Bhakti Lata Bija. This Bija is nurtured through Sravana and Kirtana. the Kripa grows and embraces the lotus feet of Krishna. So we establish our connection between Krishna and me. I feel I am part of Krishna's family. So I cannot but speak about Krishna. I go out and speak about Krishna. I'll go anywhere and everywhere I'll speak about Krishna. I'll make varieties of arrangement to speak about Krishna. Because that's how, because my connection, my only friend is Krishna. Only friend is Krishna. Yesterday I was telling one, because yesterday was San Snana Yatra. And I told a story, a life story of a devotee, Jagannath devotee. And I think because this is a new group, a different group, I can tell that story. Maybe many of you may not be knowing about this story. This story is about a devotee called Bandhu Mahanti. And this devotee resided in Jajapura. So Jajapura is famous for Ashwamedha Yajna. So this Jajapura, he was a very poor person. He has three children and he was finding stuff to feed them. So this Bandhu Mahanti, once in Jajapura, there was a famine or drought. So he used to go every day and bake something, and by that he used to feed his family. But when it was a drought time, he could not get anything because people didn't have even food to eat. So his wife said, "We are going to die. Please seek some help from your friend." Then Bandhu Mahanti, he was a constant chanter of the holy name. He was always calling out the name of Jagannath. And because he was situated in the holy name, and he thought about who is his friend, he thought his friend only is Jagannath. So then he told his wife, "Yes, I have only one friend, but he stays very away, far away from here." So this is the mood. When this Harina, takes us to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we naturally feel that Krishna is our only friend. So while Puranjana, as a Puranjana, I have searched all kind of pleasures. But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, same Puranjana meditates only on the lotus feet of Krishna. And he sees Krishna as his friend. And just to complete that story of Bandhu Mahanti, Bandhu Mahanti remembers his friend Jagannath and says to his wife, that my friend, because it will be around 150 or 160 kilometers, Jagannath Puri from Jajapura. So his wife said, "Let's go, even if it is far away, because we'll get some help, at least we will survive. Now he will die here." So they walked. It took 4 days for them to reach Jagannath Puri. And this person, he's a very wretched person in the sense he has no proper cloth. You know, he looks like an urchin. And when he went, reached the Singhadwara of Jagannath temple, he saw royal people are going, entering in the temple. There are police security men waiting. And he didn't dare to go there and enter inside. He simply took the darshan of Patita Pavana Jagannath and went to the southern gate of Jagannath Puri temple. And there, you know, in the southern gate, there is a kind of a tunnel in which they throw all the wasted food of Jagannath. And he tasted something and said, with this he can feed his family and be happy in the night. So he called his family to the southern gate and told them that please have this today. His wife said, no, we will go and meet your friend first. Let us be settled, take nice bath, and your friend will make some arrangement for us. Then Bandhuman said, no, don't worry. My friend is a very big one. He has very, very important guests. Today I saw so many guests are going inside. So I think that we should not disturb when so many important guests are entering his palace. We should not disturb him. I'll go tomorrow morning. Please be satisfied with this. So in southern gate, they were so tired, eating some rotten food. Of course, this is prasadam. We know Raghunath Das Goswami used to eat from here only. So eating something, and they slept there. And in the night, when the pujaris finished all the worship of Jagannath, they put the deity to rest and locked the door and left. Jagannath said, "Rip, my friend has come and he's sleeping there, hungry." So he took his own golden plate in which the bhoga is offered to him. And whatever is there, sweet cake, everything he put in there. And went to the southern gate and called out, "Bandhu, Bandhu." And Bandhu Mahanti is thinking, "Hey, who is calling?" Then he realized he is an unknown entity. He is an idiot number one, fool number one. He has no status, nothing. Who will call him? So he realized that there may be so many bandhus here. So he lied down. Now Jagannath called out, "I am calling out for Bandhu Mahanti from Jajapura." Then he realized, "Hey, I am that person. So who is calling me? Somebody knows me here." So he saw the noise is coming from the southern gate and he goes there. And he sees a old Brahmin-like person holding a golden plate full of prasadam. And he hands over to him, says, "This is for you. Please feed your family. They are very hungry." He takes that plate. Fits to his, wakes up. And then said, "My friend has sent me all these wonderful things, please take it." So everybody were very hungry when they saw wonderful prasadam. They all partook, honored it, and slept. And Bandhu Mahanti washed the plate, went back to southern gate and looked for the person. Nobody's there. So he thought, okay, tomorrow morning we will hand over that plate. Tomorrow morning when pujaris came to wake up Jagannath, so the pujari, head pujari, saw his golden plate is missing. Immediately he informed the temple management, and management rounded all the pujaris and they were beaten very heavily, because who else will steal the golden plate from the pujari room, except the pujaris. So all the pujaris were beaten severely. And news spread that golden plate has been stolen. The Lord's own plate has been stolen. And then people figured out who, because in this early morning, when sunlight comes, this golden plate is dazzling. You can't hide it. And they realize, oh, this family is having the golden plate. So immediately everybody came and they caught hold of Bandhu Mahanti. They were beating him mercilessly. When they should have asked how he got it, nothing. Even if he told that, "No, I didn't take it. One old Brahmana called me and gave me." They were not ready to listen. He was beaten severely. The king's men put him in the jail and he was in the jail, beaten severely. He prayed to the Lord, "I am useless. I'm an idiot. I'm a patita. I have no qualification. what has happened to me is actually justice for me. I have no devotion for you. I have come here and possibly, you know, out of greed I took that plate which I should not have taken. I didn't know this is your own plate. This is my mistake. So like that he prayed, and he was praying in the prison while praying to Lord Chaitanya. So whole day he's in the prison. His family there is crying, everybody is scolding them. It's a complete humiliation. Absolute humiliation. So when that day was ended, Jagannath thought, what is happening? Because Krishna is naturally Bhakta Vatsala. So he called out for Garuda. So Garuda came. Middle of night, he said, let's go to King's Palace. So King's Palace is in Cuttack. So Jagannath went and entered into the dream of the king of Utkal. So when he entered there in his dream, he said, would you mistreat like this if a guest comes to your house? And this is what you have done to my guest, my friend. And then Jagannath narrated everything. And told the king, please go. Release him. Beg apology from him. And honor him in public by putting a turban on his head. And then said, make arrangement for his stay near the temple. So, and then Jagannath came back to the temple. So when king saw this dream, he was amazed. Anybody would be amazed, because to see, these are not something that happens once in a blue moon, no. The exchange between devotee and Krishna, this always happens in Sabda Brahma. This is an amazing relationship. Now also it is happening. Those who chant purely, they continuously engage with Krishna in a loving reciprocation. Continuously happening. And king comes back, king orders, calls for the minister and starts from his capital to Jagannath Puri, goes to the prison, and releases the Vandamanti, embraces him, falls at his lotus feet, washes his feet, does abhishekam, baths him properly, gives him a nice dress, puts a turban. So this is the exchange between a devotee and the Lord. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, we can actually transcend this plane of Vaikari sound that is coming from my throat, mechanically generated, to the transcendental sound. And Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the transcendental sound. It has everything within it. Haridas Thakur says, There is no obstruction. Suppose you do Ashwamedha Yajna. If the Purohito, the Brahmin, does a mistake, you lose everything. You do a temple worship, Pujari does some mistake, you lose everything. But chanting of Hare Krishna, you are the sole responsible person. I am the responsible person for my chanting. You are responsible for your chanting. There is no third party who can intervene here. It is my greed to attain the pure love for Krishna that will help me to attain the parasam. So when we start chanting incessantly, we will be able to chant incessantly when we are situated in parasam. That means all this desire, karma kanda, jnana kanda, must be given up. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavrita anukullena krishna anusilanam bhakti ruchyate. So we should not develop any other desire. Like Bandhu Mahanti, can I say Krishna is my only friend? If I can say, my life is perfect. In Harinam Chintamani, the Haridas Thakur is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we have two categories of bad association. And this bad association prompts us to perform offenses against the holy name. And this bad association has two categories. One category of bad association is to be directly involved in illicit connection with the opposite sex. And second category, it's a second bad association in this category is to associate with all those who have illicit connection with opposite sex. And then the second category of bad association is associating with the Mayavadis. Because Mayavadis will completely cloud our philosophical understanding. Very dangerous. Atheists and Bhanda Babas and Gurus, those pseudo people who have taken shelter of religion, or those who are acting as if they are the owner, or they are the dharma, they know the dharma. So this kind of association we must avoid. And this world is anyway full of faithless. This is also being described in Harinam Chintamani. And there is an offense against holy name, that if you glorify the holy name to a faithless person. So as Haridas Thakur is saying this, that one should not speak the glories of the holy name to a faithless person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is replying with enthusiasm, no, go out and preach loudly. Do Nam Sankirtan loudly. Why? Because if we go out and speak loudly the holy name, even those who are faithless, they will do Namavasa. Why? Because they will hear the holy name. And more Namavasa they will do, then they will develop faith. Two wonderful way or formula of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make faithless people faithful is mass distribution of prasadam and Nama Sankirtana. Loud chanting of Krishna's name. Krishna's name is all pure. We should be convinced about it. Whichever way they manifest, they are always pure. They are bright, equivalent to trillions of suns together. This is the power of holy name. And hence, the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is go out and preach. If you preach, you will surely find faithful who will accept the holy name. And holy name is the parasam. But I am impure. As I chant, the para sound will be revealed in due course of time as I become free from anarthas, ignorance and offense. Three things. Anartha, ignorance means philosophical misunderstanding and offenses against the world. When I am freed from these three, I will be situated in para sound. Then Goloka will directly manifest. There is no distinction. Sound and the source. There is no distinction. We chant and we see. So this is the objective of life. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I hope it was useful for you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. It was so instructional. We are very grateful to you, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class and the easy understanding of the concept. Prabhu, I have a question over here that I know you are so much into preaching and with the college students and the university students. So now over here, like, I don't know, again, this is related to each person's tolerance, I guess. But then when we are preaching or when we are telling someone, it does not become that the person thoroughly understands in one go. They just, sometimes they listen, sometimes they do not listen. So then what would be the right way, or is there any ways or tricks or anything, basic science which we can explain them in a proper way without them getting offended, and also to tell the concept in a right way, not to propagate Krishna consciousness, but with a feeling that they should come into it.
Very good question, Mataji. Thank you very much for your question. As I told you, that Bhagavatam can be spoken at the level of Parasound, Vashyanti, Madhyama or Vaikhari, depending on one's realization. Normally, when you speak from the level of parasound, everybody would hear. There will be impact, for sure. But we are not situated in that. So what we are actually doing? We are actually going out to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once we pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I am doing this seva for you, we are serving Srila Prabhupada. We are praying to Prabhupada. This service is I'm doing for you. You preach. You speak. So when we do this, Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surely can conquer their intelligence. We are imperfect. We are impure. We are fallen. It may not make much. Our message may not make sense. But if we sincerely pray to them, they will be present. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wherever there is Sankirtana, in the house of Srivastava, Meaning what? Wherever there is Sankirtan, he is personally present. Wherever Nityananda Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu is dancing, he is there. So similarly, wherever we are doing Nagar Sankirtan, wherever we are doing Sankirtan, wherever we are doing preaching, he is there. We need to be conscious of it, and we should hand over. We become instrument, we should allow them to do the job. When that mood is there, I'm 100% sure this will be more effective. And more important from my perspective, why I go out and preach. Not because the others can become devotee, but by this process, I can pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, for some mercy, for my own purification. Because deliverer, not I. Srila Prabhupada is deliverer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is deliverer. Guru Gauranga, they are deliverer. I am a nimitta. I am just instrument. If Krishna gives me some credit, fine. If he doesn't give me any credit, also fine. But I should always be in the mood of an instrument. So with this mood, if we go out and preach, and one of the way you can improve your preaching thing is that if we, you know, before we go, we read a song from Saranagati of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because in Holy Name, it is said that the this idea that I have, I and mine, and the attachment to I and mine, as long as this is there, I will continue offense against the Holy Name. And that is eradicated, this offense is eradicated, only when I completely surrender to Krishna. Anukulyasa sankalpam pratikulyasa varjanam rakishatiti vishvasa gotrutya varanam tatha atmanikhyapa karpanyam sadvidhi saranayam. So, one of the very good way before we go, you know, we need to prepare, before we go to preach, we need also some preparation. And one of the preparation is to sing one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Saranagati. That will keep us in a proper mood before we go and preach. But the best, the approach is, we are instrument and we hand over. We do things very effectively, the way it is told to us, but we hand over the stage to Srila Prabhupada to run the show. Guru and Gauranga should run the show. Is that all right?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, two questions. So, any song from Sharanagati or any particular song from Sharanagati, Prabhu?
Any song. All songs are nectar. All songs are nectar. Krishna nama dhare katabo. This is the last song in Saranagati. There is a song. Ki jani ki bole tomar dhate oinu saranagata. Each song is so wonderful. Just go through. These are the songs. We should practice day and night and remain in that mood of Saranagati. Then we'll be easily freed from the attachment I to I and my. Once that is there, lot of job is done.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. And my second question was, like, I'm very new to this Krishna consciousness. And when I chant my rounds, often I get frustrated, you know, it is so far from the goal. So you have been doing it for so long. I know sadhana should be secret, but still, as much as you could share, what hope would you give for me, Prabhu, who is just chanting and don't know what exactly I'm doing? So what hope will you give, Prabhu?
Chanting is the basis. Chanting is actually everything. So we should not neglect our chanting. We did this Nama Yajna and we learned many things. I actually told you in the class, literally, the summary. So chanting means I should always remain Krishna conscious as much as possible. By hearing Sravana and Kirtana. Sravana and Kirtana. More Sravana and Kirtana, chanting is better. We together sit down, sing together. Right? We go out, preach. We hear, we read. So when we do these things together, then my chanting will be better. So, don't rush while chanting. Oh, I have to finish 16 rounds. No. The best time must be given to the chanting, where I should not think anything else.
Thank you, Prabhu. So exactly what I wanted to know, like you have been chanting for so long and from your initial days to till today, what have you experienced different for your chanting, Prabhu? That is very personal. I'm sorry to ask, but how much ever
you say that when we chant, the only thing chanting should help us that nama smarana. Suppose I'm cooking, I'm cycling, I'm walking. The only thing I'm remembering is Nama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I can tell you, if you are chanting sincerely, the most difficult time, the first thing that will come to you is Nama. If you are chanting properly, then if one thing you have to do at any point of time, that is chanting. So when I chant a fixed rounds of chanting properly, that would help me to only remember the holy name. Because this life is very short. Any time an end period may come. Our biggest friend in this material world, who is always sitting with me, who is walking with me, who is traveling with me, who never leaves me, and that person is death. So death is knocking at the door. So if I have not chanted properly, then I cannot have Namasmarana at the time of death. And Te Narayana Smriti. And just to give one example is that, you know, I had a tumor here and that was operated in 2010 or 11. So I was taken to ICU and my wife was there and some of the students were there. And once they took me ICU, in 5 minutes I don't know what has happened because they have administered the anesthesia and the operation has happened. And after the operation, when I'm able to see that I'm gaining consciousness, so only thing I realize that in that consciousness I'm only trying to chant Hare. I'm not able to chant, but I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna. Then I thanked Nama Prabhu.
I felt so obligated to Nanaprabhu that, yes, if we have chanted nicely, the most demanding situation, Nanaprabhu would be there. So I can give you guarantee, please take shelter of Nanaprabhu. Any critical situation, he would be there. And you will surely conquer death. Death will never look at you if you are chanting properly.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful answer. Very, very grateful for that, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. The question is that you basically told the different types of sound, and then you said the sound in the form of para is the highest. Like you said, we are not there. But then how do we understand devotees going out for, say, Harinam, where the sound is not really para? So how is that going to have an effect? Say, for example...
Yeah, please complete. Yeah.
So we have also heard through pastimes and devotees telling pastimes that even during Lord Chaitanya's times, I mean, they're all very exalted devotees, and when they go and chant, it's a different experience. But when people like me who are such a neophyte, and if we go and chant, what kind of an effect will it have, or will it still have an effect? Because it's nowhere close to para, you said. These are all still in the initial stages of chanting. So how is that going to have an effect on someone else, where I might have not I'm not chanting in full absorption of Krishna. So this just came to my mind, Prabhuji. So I have this differently, but I haven't personally asked anybody, but because you nicely explained today, I thought I'll ask you.
Yeah, so the answer to your question, Prabhu, is that it doesn't matter whether I'm pure or I'm impure. It doesn't matter. Holy name is always pure. So, when I utter the holy name, that is pure. I'm uttering holy name, how? Not by some concoction. This holy name is given to me, somebody has given to me through parampara. Holy name is pure. But when it is chanted, this has effect on everybody based on their internal state, which I told in the form of anartha, ignorance, and offense. Right? So, when we go out and chant, the holy name is being received by everyone. So, everybody is doing nama bhasa. We should not be worried about pure name. Everybody is doing nama bhasa. And as far as you are concerned, you worry about how you convert your namabhasa into pure name. But everybody is getting initiated into the process of namabhasa. In Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur is saying, all shastras they recommend only namabhasa. Namabhasa is bigger than Veda, namabhasa is bigger than Varnasrama, namabhasa is bigger than Homa, namabhasa is bigger than Tapa, namabhasa is bigger than charity, namabhasa is bigger than everything. So just because I am not able to do pure nama, that should not worry me. I am very fortunate that I am been introduced to namabhasa. Namabhasa means that It is like, you know, you see in the early morning, sun has not risen, but the light is there. So similarly, Namabhasa, the name is fully powerful, but that power of name is blocked by our own receptive field. Because our receptive field is full of junk. But we should feel very fortunate that we are, this Namabhasa is beyond Vedic study, is beyond charity, beyond penance, beyond austerity. The best thing, you are engaged in the best thing. Okay? And it is all depends on your sincerity, how quickly you can convert that Namabhasa to pure Nama. And for that, you have to associate with pure devotee, you have to associate with advanced devotee, you should be very serious, you should continuously nurture your bhakti through Sravana Kirtana, you read books nicely, you know, all these things, do service nicely, and serve the Vaishnavas, don't do Vaishnava Ninda, don't do Guru Abhagya. So all these things we have to follow. But you should always feel very fortunate that you are engaged in Namabhasa. That is a very fortunate situation, Namabhasa. So Namabhasa is not less. It is very, very highest, you know, it is a very high pedestal to be situated in.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the wonderful class. And out of curiosity, I'm asking this question, Prabhuji. As you said, that para sound, when we go to others and we're talking in a para sound, they can easily get the knowledge or they can accept it. And then I had a small question, like if we take Narada Muni, he goes to different type of people. It may be a thief or it may be a hunter or any type of people. And when Narada Muni gives the instructions or says Harikada, they take it and they change into a devotee. So are they all talking in this para sound? Does it all goes to all demigods and saints, or is it only for humans?
No, the para sound is meant for everyone. So Narada, when Narada speaks, he utters para sound. He is completely situated in the absolute truth. So hence it is very impactful, extremely impactful. But doesn't mean that we should be worried because we are not situated in Parasa. The point is, what I'm making is that we must know the goal. Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all our acharyas, they want, all of us, they want their disciples, grand disciple, great grand disciple, great great grand disciples, all of them, to reach to the parasound level, pure. What is parasound? Means I have attained purity. I'm a pure devotee. But you know that a pure devotee always thinks he is the lowest. So that's another aspect. But the point is, in Harinam Chintamani, the categorization of devotees are based on nama. So it says, if one chants holy name even once, he is the Kanishta devotee. Without. And then if somebody is chanting incessantly, he's a Madhyama devotee. And someone who is chanting, and by his chanting, others are naturally chanting, then he's pure devotee. So there are categories of devotees, and we may be in Kanishta or Madhyama, but there should not be a mood of competition or rivalry here. Rather, we should always appreciate a pure devotee. And it is not possible for us to appreciate a pure devotee, because to appreciate a pure devotee, we have to have the qualification to even appreciate him. So it is not easy. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, a pure disciple can properly glorify a pure guru. So, or the initiation process, Divya Jnana, is that a pure guru is hand-holding the pure disciple and handing him over to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the culmination of the Divya Jnana process, where my guru, my spiritual master, who is a confidential servitor of Krishna, he personally introduces me to the lotus feet of Sisi, Radha and Krishna. So we must know this, but we should always act in the platform where I am. We should never try to go beyond our realization. We should not try as if I know more. Or, you know, it is better to be humble, to be, to take a position as low as possible and seek progress in spiritual life. That is much better than thinking that I have become pure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
I think we should stop probably. It's already 6:40.
Hare Krishna, if anybody have any questions. If nobody have any questions, can we end the call here? Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. Thank you for your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kupasindhavasya patitanam pravinam vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Amaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.